I am Pastor James A. Hogan, pastor of the New Zion Hill Missionary Baptist Church of Augusta, Georgia, where we believe that when praises go up, blessings really do come down, and where we believe that God has not called us to denomination, but God has called us to salvation. Welcome to the New Zion Hill Missionary Baptist Church Shower of Blessings broadcast. Now, on this Sunday morning, we are inviting you to stay tuned for just the next 30 minutes or so to listen to an excerpt from a sermon of mine. I believe that if you do it, and you do it in the mighty name of Jesus, you will indeed receive a blessing. But we also ask that you pay special attention to information that will be displayed on your television screen. Information concerning the location to our sanctuary, as well as the telephone number to our prayer hotline. We do have prayer warriors standing by, ready to prayerfully receive your calls. Again, we ask that you stay tuned for just the next 30 minutes or so. And if you do it, and you do it in the mighty name of Jesus, I believe that you will indeed receive a blessing. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the Lord, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Title for this message is A Message to the Church. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you will, as you take your seat. We have a text taken from Revelations, that apocalyptic book, the Apocalypse, John chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, with a title for the message, for this sermon, A Message to the Church. Writer Laurel L. Nash wrote the often quoted, "The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints." But it seems that many of the patients are leaving the hospital before healing treatment is complete. A fuller study taken some 20 plus years ago found that in the 80s, church attendance dropped 10%. And then in the 90s, another 12%. And that some denominations have lost as much as 40% of church membership. In fact, every year, more than 4,000 churches close their doors. But only 1,000 new churches a year are created, so automatically you can see a deficit of 3,000 churches a year. As a matter of fact, every year over 2 million members fall into inactivity. Some leave the church outright and attend no other church. Some simply quit doing anything in the church other than attending, feeding themselves, but not nurturing the kingdom of God. From this text, the text of Christ's letter to the church at Smyrna,
We will learn that there is a promised reward for those who remain faithful, regardless of the threats of pain or misery. And I hope this message will encourage you to endure, regardless of what you go through. To this end, I will divide this message into three simple parts. The comprehension of the text, the command of the text, and the consolation of the text. Come with me as we go to verse 9 to deal with the comprehension of the text. It reads, I know thy works in tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The comprehension of the text. The Lord knows their works, the works of service. Put in the words of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, we are told to work out our own soul's salvation with fear and trembling. The work that God has saved us to do doesn't say anything about it having saved some people to do nothing. We are to do that work with fear and trembling. As preachers, as deacons, as ushers, as choir members, and as a host of other dedicated workers in the vineyard of the kingdom of God. He's saying to the church at Smyrna, I know your works. I know what you are doing. How, as in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, he knows how they do it from the heart. Heartedly, not as unto man, but as unto God. He knows that. God knows their works of service. In the comprehension of the text, he knows how hard you work and how hard you try not to work. He knows. In the comprehension of the text, he knows not only your work of service, but he knows the sacrifice. That's right. He knows the sacrifice that you make. Some of you do not even have reliable transportation. And so you get to the church the best way you can. He said to the church at Smyrna, I know the sacrifice that you're making in time, in talent, and in earthly treasures. The Lord knows your sacrifice. You don't have to sound it on a trumpet. Need not put it on television or the radio. You need not get up and make a big fuss about it in the church. He knows. He knows your service. He knows your sacrifice. But not only your service and your sacrifice. He knows about your work of submission. He knows how you have submitted yourself to the will of God. He knows that you don't come here to make trouble for anybody. People talk about you, you don't talk about them back. They make a fuss at you, but you pray for them. He knows that you see a lot of things in the church that don't fit the way you want them to fit. But instead of doing the dozen or dissing people, you pray for them. He knows your submission. The Lord knows. But not only does he know your works, he, in his comprehension, he also knows your suffering. Some of you are going through a lot and you don't tell anybody. You do not look like you're going through what you're going through. Some of you have bad health, but you still come to church. For some, it's a struggle just to get out of bed and get dressed. But still, you come. You're suffering. He knows about your tribulation. The word tribulation is translated from the Greek word thipsis, which literally means pressure. He knows the pressure that you're under, that you're suffering what he called poverty here. He knows that you're suffering from a lack of financial resources. He knows everyone in here. He knows how much money you have. He knows how much money you don't have. He also knows how much you give. He knows how much you don't give. He knows. He knows your suffering. You tell him about it in your prayer, but you're telling it to someone who already knows. He knows. But in dollars and cents, in gold and silver, the church in Smyrna may have been poor. But if you are a child of God, you're already rich. You have something that money cannot buy. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. You have eternal peace that only God can give, and you have his great joy. How many times have you been in a situation, whether at work or whether at home, when you would have given all the money you had in this world just to have peace and a modicum of joy? And now God is giving it to you and has given it to you for free. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. It's easy to look around at what other people have and then feel sorry for yourself. But what you don't understand is that you're going to be on the other side a whole lot longer than you're going to be on this side. And I would care a whole lot more on where I'm going to be in eternity than where I'm going to be in temporality. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. The Lord knows. He knows that they are considered outcasts by other Jews. Now that they have become Christians, those who were Jews considered them outcasts, saying you're letting your people down. Many of them, their families disown them. But I need to tell you what Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, verse 23. He said, whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother. Coming by stealing wheels off my car and then waving me and say, how you doing, bro, doesn't work for me. Breaking in my house and having me look over my shoulder all the time while you call me homie and bro doesn't work for me. But if you do the will of my Father, if you have come to Jesus kneeling in deep contrition, if you love the Lord, you are my spiritual brother and you are my spiritual sister. Give the Lord, if you will, a hand clap of praise. And that is something that goes beyond race or nationality. So here you had it. The comprehension of the text, the Lord knows. He knows of your service. He knows of your sacrifice. He knows of your suffering. He knows what you're going through. Don't stress yourself out. The Lord would not allow anything to happen to you that he has not already prepared you to handle. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. Then verse 10 gives us the command of the text. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Don't be afraid. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And then he goes on to say, be thou faithful unto death. The command of the text then is a command first to fear not. He said to the church at Smyrna, you are going to have some extremely difficult days ahead. If you think it's bad now, if you think it's hard now, just wait around. I'm here to tell someone in here, you're either just coming out of a struggle, you're already in a struggle, or you're about to go in a struggle. But know that the Lord is always there with you in your struggle. Do I have any help up in here? He's telling them to fear not. You're going to have some difficult days ahead. In fact, some will even go into prison. Some will lose their life. But these things are happening to you. God is permitting them to happen to you to demonstrate the authenticity of your faith. There will always be those who will call you pleather instead of leather. There will always be those that will say you played it instead of genuine gold. There will always be those who will say you are cut glass and not diamond. But then God will put you through a test. Not to break you, not even to make you, but to show to others that you are the real deal. Do I have any help up in here? That's the work of the Lord. Why are you doing all that whining up in here? Up in here. Ah, yes, you've lost the job. But the same God that gave you the last one, he still got jobs. In fact, if there were no jobs, the Lord loves you. He could take somebody off a job and give it to you. Yes, he's still God. Does not matter who's in the White House. As long as he's still on the great white throne, the Lord will take care of you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. But then he goes on and he says about this command to fear not. He says, yeah, look here. They're only going to last 10 days. Now that's a metaphor, meaning they will only last for a while. And they will only last as long as I allow them to last. What you're going through did not catch God by surprise. You said, God, you haven't been paying attention. Go, look what just happened to me. Oh, you real? God knows what is happening to you. He allowed it to happen to you. He knew it was going to happen to you before it happened to you. But he also knew how long he was going to allow you to go through what you were going through. Will you show what you're made of? The cream rises to the top. And you don't know if there's any juice in the lemon until it's squeezed. Do I have any help up in here? God controls the extent of your trials. No one can touch you without God's permission. People can't even talk about you or talk against you without God's permission. So no need even saying anything to the crazy people who are talking against you. Because they can only talk against you if the Lord allows them to do so. If you have a problem with what you're going through, tell the one who let you go through it. Do I have any help up in here? Tell the Lord. Do I have any help up in here? Fussing at the devil is not going to get you anywhere. And if God has already in eternity set a certain amount of time for you to go through what you're going through, you might as well get in your mind that you just have to take your licking and keep right on ticking. Do I have any help up in here? He prepares his saints for trouble. Sometimes to show others how to handle trouble through you, because he knows he's already prepared you to deal with what you must deal with. Sometimes it's not all about you. Why God let me go through this? Why does everything have to be about us? Why are they doing that to my children? Why are they doing that to me? Why are they doing everything that happens that involves you is not about you? Oh, help me, somebody. You say you're a saint. You got to be testimony service. They said, told us what all you could take if it came. Now is show me time. I'm from Georgia. Show me something. Yes, the command is don't be afraid. The command, fear not. But he also said this, look here. Be faithful unto death. Even if it costs you your physical life. And many of the early Christians, they went through some. We don't go through anything here. They roll our eyes, we leave the church, go lock the doors, call ID. When I call you from the church or call you from the youth, won't even answer the phone. That's nothing about the realm. Trying to get me to come back down. Think about them folk. 100 folk love you. And you making all that fuss about one person rolling their eyes. What kind of Christian are you? In the early church, some were thrown in prison. Some lost their lives. Some were burned alive. Some were roasted. Some were fed to wild beasts and torn apart. You can't even take it because somebody don't want you sitting next to them. If they're going to talk during the sermon, they might be doing you a favor. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise up in here. Sometimes you might not want to be next to bad attitude. Why are you trying to praise the Lord? Even if it costs you your physical life, be faithful. Faithful. Greek word would be pistos. Be faithful. Pistos, by the way, translated various ways in John 10:27, is translated as believing. Continue believing in the power of God to keep you, to be aware of what you're going through, and the fact that he has prepared you already to deal with what you're dealing with. He knows how much you can bear. Do I have anybody in here know that the Lord knows how much you can bear? If he led me to it, he can lead me through it. And when I come out, I'll look better than I did when I went in. Do I have any help up in here? Oh, if you think I look good now, let some more mess get slung on me. And what they thought were mess that was going to kill me would turn out to be fertilizer that beat me up. Do I have any help up in here? Your talk will be on me like spinach used for papa, like fertilizer used for roses. Do I have any help up in here? Keep on believing Christ as your Lord and your Savior, believing in the resurrection, believing that the Lord will come back, believing that Romans 8:28, but all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Sometime when the Lord hits me with something, I can't see any good in it. I don't even understand why he did it to me. And then sometime I start bragging to God when God already knows that I'm not as good as I think I am. I start talking about why you let it happen to me after all I've done for the church. And then God brings up my record and he can show me everything that I've ever done that displeased him. And then I say, okay, excuse me, Lord. You can put the record back. I'm not that good. Hit me with your best shot. Do I have any hip up in here? None of us are so good that we can brag to God about how good we've been. All of us have fallen short with the glory of God. Do I have any hip up in here? All of us are sinners saved by the grace of God. God did us a favor even when he awakened us this morning. Don't start bragging to God about why you let this happen to me. You're doing good that God still lets you breathe. Keep on believing that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Keep on believing. that God is able. Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord is able and that he will take care of you? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Is he able? Is he able?
Well, thank you so very much for tuning in to the New Zion Hill Missionary Baptist Church Shower of Blessings broadcast. And I trust that you did indeed receive a blessing. Now, our sanctuary is located at 3237 and a half Deansbridge Road, just south of the Bobby Jones Expressway overpass and a couple of hundred yards south of the Walmart Supercenter. Our Sunday morning worship services begin at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. We also have a great midweek Bible study Wednesdays beginning at 7 p.m. And we also ask that as you are led by the Spirit of God to call our prayer hotline, we do have prayer warriors standing by ready to prayerfully receive your calls in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, our prayer hotline may be reached by dialing 793-2224. Again, that's 793-2224. Whether you come to worship with us in the beauty of holiness or led by the Spirit of God to call our prayer hotline, we believe that if you do it and you do it in the mighty name of Jesus, you will indeed receive a blessing.
Still here.